Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick Behind the Curtain, a special edition for our WGNRadio.com audience and all the podcast platforms where you catch us. And that's because there's an incredible show going on in Chicago right now, Chicago Shakespeare Theater. They do some of the best stuff. It's called Billie Jean, and it's the story. No, it's not the Michael Jackson Billie Jean song. No, this is about Billie Jean King, who is probably, I'll just say, the finest, certainly finest female tennis player in history, and maybe the finest tennis player in history. We're going to find out a little bit by talking to the actor who portrays Billie Jean. And so joining me is Shalina Kennedy. It's good to see you, Shalina. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's good to be seen. It's great to be on your show.
So we're going to talk about Billie Jean because people need to see this. It's only playing through August 10th at Chicago Shakespeare. You can get tickets at chicagoshakes.com. But people need to know that they've probably seen you here in Chicago before. So some of those places, I recall, we talked back when Paradise Square was here. It was a world premiere in Chicago with so many producers and directors like to do before it went to Broadway. And what you played Annie Lewis in that show. What an incredible show that was. It should have played for a lot longer than it did.
I agree. We all loved the show. We were so proud of it. And, you know, I'm just glad that people got to see it. I'm glad that people loved it so much. And yeah, I agree. I wish it had a longer run, but there you go.
Yeah. Now, and I know, here's the thing. I know when people have been interviewing on this show, they don't go there. They go to the fact that you were Carol King on Broadway, which you were. And I know that's a real feather in the cap kind of a thing. And I just recently interviewed Jesse Mueller, who, of course, was the first. So I want to use that as a Billie Jean step off. Oh, so by the way, so that was incredible. I also noticed you tend to play people with the name King. So I am writing something for you. It's about a fictional meeting between B.B. King and Regina King, and you play both roles.
Oh, my goodness. Please bring it on. It's also funny because I'm also developing a new musical about Canadian rock star Carol Pope. And so it's interesting, and she spells Carol with an E, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I either play, you know, these famous people with, you know, the first name Carol with an E or the last name King. But that's,
you
that's
know, if you were superstitious, that would be like I must always do a Carol or a King show.
Yeah, totally.
I love it. And by the way, another favorite of mine, you were also Dina. It's one of my favorite shows in Band's Visit. And I just, the score in that show, and it's been done here at Writers Theater and stuff. I kind of catch it everywhere I can. Just such an amazing show. You were great in that, and I just loved it.
Thank you so much. I loved it, too. And actually, something that a lot of people don't know is that back in the day, I think it was 2002 or 2003, I toured Mamma Mia here as well. That was my first time in Chicago, and I played Sophie in Mamma Mia. So this is actually my fourth show now in Chicago, and I just love it. And I just want to say, before we even dive in too much to Billie Jean, Chicago is such a great theater town. It is so wonderful to bring a show here for an out-of-town tryout because the audience is really, it's unique. It's like the missing piece of the puzzle, and it's just such a smart crowd. And you really get the feedback that you need here. So I love being here.
And that's a favorite question I like to ask for first shows. By the way, when you did Mamma Mia, was Chris Shea your Sam?
Oh no, I don't think so. I think.
Or was Carolee Carmello your Donna?
No, she wasn't. I had, oh my goodness, I had Dee Hody.
Okay.
I had, anyway, yeah.
Janine, so different guests. Okay.
Yeah.
Just playing connection geography with you. And by the way, there's a million shows. You were Mary Magdalene in a revival of Jesus Christ Superstar. We could do this forever. I am going to mention one other thing because I know this was temporary for you, but you know, Jeremy Jordan is kind of a heartthrob. And am I guessing you then worked with him in Great Gatsby playing Myrtle for a little while, right?
Yes, you know what? He is fabulous. And the wonderful thing about him is he's not only a heartthrob, but he's just so nice. He's great to work with. And I was there for 3 months playing Myrtle, and I loved it. What a fabulous show. And also, that was my, I've worked with Mark Burney now 4 times, and that was another wonderful opportunity to work with Mark. So,
and we're going to talk. Well, I have a surprise. Jeremy's joining us now. No, I'm kidding. So, let us, and by the way, you're not just an actor. I mean, you write music, you write songs, and you are also the founding artistic director for the Eclipse Theater Company based in Toronto. But so you do your own production thing. You get all sides of this business.
Yes, and actually, I'm the artistic producer emeritus for that company, and I'm currently the creative director for the New York Theater Company, which is a brand new theater company that we just launched about 3 months ago.
Not enough work in your world. So let's take us to Billie Jean. So a play written by Lauren Gunderson. This is a world premiere here in Chicago, again, only through August 10th. I should say that a few times. What did they come looking for you to play? Because I got to tell you, I was there opening night. When you walk on, wig and glasses and that kind of thing, I had a moment. I kind of, look, I'm old enough to remember Billie Jean's days and all that stuff. For a minute, I went, oh my God, they actually brought Billie Jean to open the show, until I remembered, oh wait, she's not that young now. I mean, you, I'm serious. You,
Goodness, what a
I
compliment.
had a
Thank you.
real moment of, whoa. Who came to who to get you to do this role?
Well, frankly, I've been involved for a couple of years, and there's been a ton of workshops, a lot of sort of different versions of this show leading up to this point. And so I've had a chance to kind of work on her for the last couple of years. Mark asked me to come in and audition for it, and I thought, oh my gosh, of course I will. I mean, I wasn't confident that I'd get it. You never are. You just sort of walk in, you try to do your best work, and you see what happens. And I loved the material so much, and I loved the role that I just kind of fell in love. And I thought, well, if I get it, great. If I don't, it's okay. It was a pleasure to work on it. And it just happened to be a really good fit. And like I said, I adore working with Mark. I will do anything he does. And Lauren Gunderson, I'm sure you know this. I mean, she's one of the most produced playwrights in America. I think she's the most produced female playwright in America. So the chance to work with Lauren, I was like, absolutely, sign me up. I will do anything she does. She's so kind, so smart, such an activist herself, and I just love her work.
Yeah, and amazingly done. I want to ask you a bit of a tough question, but let me set it up this way. Obviously, Billie Jean King, and in my 4-star review, giving you just screening your accolades and accolades, I don't know whether you read reviews, but it was a great one. So if you didn't, that's what I'm telling you.
Thank you.
But here's the thing: written by a woman. The cast has some males in it, but this is a woman's story, right? This is about the power of Billie Jean King, her aggression, her in a good way, her fight, her grit, all this sort of stuff. So, with all due respect to Mark Brunei, and I don't, this is not, but what did he bring to the cake? Did you feel like, oh, we're not having a woman direct this show? Did that make a difference?
Oh, you know what? It's funny. I never even really thought about it because everything felt so balanced to me. Like having a female writer, having so many wonderful female voices in the room. We have a female sound designer, and Mark is just such a. Somebody said something about this, actually. I think it was the associate director, Amy Seidel. She said, She's I and I don't want to. I paraphrase her, but she said something about the beauty of working with him. That he's kind of like. He feels like one of us. Like he's just got the voice of Billie Jean, at the forefront of everything, and he's so respectful and he's so collaborative. And so anytime any of us has an opinion about something, he's a great listener, and he's really a team player. And I think that no matter whether you're a man or a woman, like that's the kind of energy that you want in the room. And Mark brings that, in spades. He just has so much of it. So.
Well, which is great, and no criticism intended at all. I'm
No,
just sort of,
no. It's a good question because you think, oh, maybe it could be an all-female creative team, and that would make sense. But
yeah.
I think Mark was just the right person for the job. And
And opening night, even the great Lily Tomlin present is one of the producers of this show, I believe, right? So,
yes.
yeah. So there's no question this is a very a female-powered show in so many ways. But Mark did an incredible job because the show is just amazing. Something else I said in my review. See, I love being able to talk to you because you can say, well, you got that wrong. But one of the things I said was, I said, yes, this is the life story of Billie Jean King. And certainly Act One is the life story of Billie Jean King. But when you get to Act Two, one of the comments I made was something along the lines of, this is almost a self-help empowering book for all women and for LGBTQ people and for all people. This is not just the story of Billie Jean King, and that's not the reason, the only reason to see this show.
Well, it is really interesting how Lauren set up this play. Like Act One, as you said, is kind of her fighting all of her battles, and then Act Two, it's because the battle that she leaves out in the first act is herself, and in the second act, you get to see how she fights for herself. And she is outed. She is forced to deal with so many things, and to deal with that and the loss of so much. And I think it's a I guess I've never looked at it like a self-help novel, but that's sort of true. I mean, it's not just for LGBTQ plus people, but for women, for people in general, people who have suffered great loss and recovered from that and made a comeback. I mean, I find it so inspiring, to be honest. Every night that we do the show, I learn something different from it. I hear it differently, and I'm always left inspired.
Yeah, and when I walked out, and I'm not going to give this part away, but for me, the scoreboard in the show is another character.
Yes.
You should almost
Yes.
name it, give it a name, for a variety of reasons through the show. But certainly the last part of the show, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to say the inclusion of video and various things. It's what gave me that feeling when I walked out after watching the end of the show, the last, I don't know, 10 minutes of the show or so, and seeing all that. That's when I went, this is a an empowering message for all people. All of a sudden, this was no longer just about Billie Jean or even generically about women in sports or women in tennis, because you get some names in there, you see some faces, and you're like, that's right. They all walked in Billie Jean King's footsteps.
Well, and we all did. And the thing is, before this show, I didn't realize the power of her legacy, all of the accomplishments that she had. She's helped women so much. I mean, she's just done everything, and she's won everything, and she has paved the way for all of us in some way or another. And I agree with you. It's very moving, and unfortunately, so many of the themes of the show are still so relevant. I mean, they were relevant in 1973, and they're still relevant. And so, I'm not going to give those away. But if you come see the show, I think you're going to see a lot of very familiar subjects that were still fighting for.
And at first, while you open the show, giving us that "oh my God, it's Billie Jean King in the room" feel, but very quickly you sort of get replaced by the young Billie Jean, who's played by a wonderful actor named Julia Antonelli. And and by the way, all the people in the show kind of will come in and out in different roles and in various ways, and that includes her. But she is the young Billie. It looks to me like she plays her sort of 12 to 16-ish, and then you kind of kick in at 18. But even you cut this role off at 50. Not you, Lauren cuts this role off at 50. I know that's the teaching period of this time, but I'm sort of curious, how did you feel in terms of young Billie Jean, you take over that person? Did you and Julia have to have some conversation of like, we are the same person here? You know, it's just that we're just different ages, but we're playing the same person.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't really have too many conversations about it. We just really stayed open and watched each other. And the thing that I think the spirit that runs through Billie Jean was there from the beginning with her, from the very first table read that I did with her. I mean, she's bold. She says things that other girls don't. You know, she fights for things. She calls things out, and that was very different for. You know, compared to the other kids of her time, the other girls of her time. Yeah. And so she's always had that spirit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And that is at the heart of who Billie Jean is. So no matter how she plays it or what the other details are, she's got that thing that makes Billie Jean unique.
And probably your maybe greatest memory of all this was, obviously, as part of this prep, I know that you got to speak with Billie Jean King for hours, be it on Zoom. You even spent some time with her in person. That has to be just some pinch me moments going on.
Pretty incredible. I actually have an amazing story, because I was not really a tennis fan before doing this show. I mean, I just never watched it for some reason. And I had tickets to the U.S. Open. I think it was last summer. And so I texted Billie Jean and Alana, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to the U.S. Open. Are you going to be there? I hope to see you." And they said, "Oh, what match are you seeing?" And I told them what it was. They said, no, we're seeing a way better match. Come and sit in our box and watch Coco and Djokovic." And so that was my very first tennis match ever, was sitting in Billie Jean King's box until 2:30 in the morning watching Coco and Djokovic win. And I just thought, my God, and I got hooked. I was like, forget it. I'm going to be a tennis fan for life. I don't know why I didn't find it in high school. It's a great sport.
And so when you were sitting with her, did you find yourself saying, okay, I'm with Billie Jean King, her wife. I'm just gonna, let's just, we're friends now. We're just going to be friends. We're going to say, hey, have a hot dog. Or did you sit there and say, can I ask you about this event that I have to cover in the show?
What were you doing? No, you know what? No, it's funny. Well, because that particular thing, they were so busy that they, you know, we had a visit at the beginning and they took me to the box and blah, but then they had to go. Like, she was doing press all day. And so they basically just kind of like, let me hang out. But I really try to keep the questions for our specific Zoom times. Like, we've had about 3 hours together or 3.5 hours over Zoom of very specific question and answer periods. But I don't like to use up our personal time for that. I also just like to kind of be around her and kind of like let her be off the hook for questions.
That was nice. I'm not sure I could do that. I actually collect a lot of theater and props and stuff. So I'd be going like, Billie Jean, can I like have one of your rackets just to, you know, add to my collection? Probably not going to happen. You didn't get one of her rackets, did you?
Well, actually, my parents got me one of her rackets for an opening night gift, but that was, But
anyway. I love it. No, I mean her racket.
No, I would love to have her racket, believe me.
And by the way, so I know you took some tennis lessons, but because here's the thing, you can, if you watch Billie Jean King and sort of blurred her face and didn't know it was her, there's elements of how she played, her backhand and different things. You're like, that's Billie Jean King. She's not just any tennis player.
Oh, she's a very specific tennis player, which is also the stakes of playing somebody who is alive and who is so cemented in people's memories, like not just her personality and what she did and her activism, but her tennis style. People know her backhand very intimately. And so, yes, I worked with these coaches at Midtown Tennis Club. They were fantastic. And I said, listen, you don't need to make me the best tennis player in the world. You need to make me look like the best tennis player in the world. And I need to be very specifically hitting like Billie Jean King.
Yeah,
Yes.
and here I'm going to give a little something away, but there's lots of tennis in this show, lots of matches, and unless you call people's attention to it, they may walk out not realizing they didn't see a racket and they didn't see a ball, but they thought they did.
Oh, I love that. I love how you put that. I'm going to steal that. That's fantastic. Yes. You know what I love about what Steph Paul did is it's like I always describe it as our bodies are the extension of the racket. And I just think she did a beautiful job of making it non-literal and making it artful.
Do you know, was it a chat? In other words, was there a time, because you're part of the early development of the show, was there a time when, all right, we're going to have these rackets and balls, and how do we want to do this? Or was it always a concept that it would be done the way it's done? And which, just in case people are wondering, I mean, the sound effects are the critical piece of that.
Yeah, you know, this concept that you just described is for this version of the show. It's brand new. This is the first time we've experimented
World
with no
premiere.
balls, yeah, and no tennis rackets. And you know, it was a bit of a risk. It's like, is this going to work? And I think it does.
Oh, so you mean, so if this show goes on Broadway, wherever it may go, you might bring back or introduce rackets and balls for real.
If they could, but I think given the success of this style, I have a feeling that they're gonna stick to this. The response has been pretty great.
Well, I wouldn't, and you know what? I mean, I'm not the director, but I would look at this and go, you know what? I don't need people like, oh, I think she just dropped the ball. Oh, I didn't think she really, oh, she missed it when she was not supposed to miss it. That's just not the point of any of this.
Exactly.
So I get
Well,
lost in that.
exactly, and that's what happens when you bring out balls and you bring out rackets, and suddenly anyone who knows tennis is going, "How is she holding the racket? Is she holding it properly? What is she? Oh, she, you know, oh, they missed that one." It's completely true, but when you take them away, then your imagination is allowed
Yeah.
to explode.
So I'm curious, when you take on, there's different kind of roles to take. There can be a fictional role where it's yours, you make it, and you become the definition of that role. There can be a fictional role that maybe somebody else has been in. I recently talked to Kathy Voytko, who is now Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, and I said to her during the interview, good thing you didn't have any legends to take over for. Of course, Angela Lansbury. So, when you have somebody, you're like, oh, this person really defined this role, how that might affect you, but those are not your worlds here. With Carole King in Beautiful, and then this role. Here's the thing. In both of those shows, you're playing true people, but true people who are still around. Billie Jean could be in that audience any night of the week, and Carole King could have been in that audience any night of the week. I remember Jessie Mueller telling me that she, if Carole King had ever showed up, she didn't want to know. And one day Carole King did show up, and she didn't know, but Carole King went up on stage afterwards for an auction thing. She had been in a wig and whatever, and the cast freaked. They had no idea. So, out of curiosity, how does it influence your interpretation and creation of a role when, in this case, you're dealing with a real person who's still around and could be sitting right there?
Absolutely. Well, I have to say the same thing happened to me in Beautiful. Carol emailed me and said, "Hey, I'm going to come and see the show. Do you want to know when I'm coming?" And I said, "Absolutely not. Please do not tell me when you're coming." And she did the same thing, came in a wig, surprised. And
Wow.
it's a lot of pressure, you know. It's a lot of pressure, but you just and you know, Billie Jean and Alana have been involved from the beginning. You know, sometimes they come and see a reading, sometimes they're on Zoom. You know, they're very much present in the process, and you know, you want to get it right. You want to get it right for the audience, for the fans. I always look at it like I don't want to be sort of a Saturday Night Live version of the person. I want it to be organic and move through me. But I always think of it like the rainbow of personality. Like if Billie Jean is a blue and I'm a yellow, then my version of Billie Jean is going to be somewhere between that. It's going to be a green, probably, and somewhere closer to yellow on certain nights and closer to blue on other nights. But I really want it to be a combination of her moving through me.
Well, in that case, what did Billie Jean say to you when she saw, or what did Carol say to you? I mean, did they give you the boy, you got me down? Or did they say, you know what, Shalini, you made this your own?
Well, you know what the beautiful thing was with Carol is,
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, exactly. Oh God, I do that all the time. It's so funny. I still do it. Well, she came in and she pulled off the wig and it was a big thing and they surprised us all. And she gave a speech to the cast. And then, but she didn't look at me. And so I thought, oh my gosh, Carole King hated what I did. That was my immediate thought. And then when she was done giving her speech, she looked at me and she came over to me. Oh my God, I cried telling the story. And she threw her arms around me and she started to cry. And we held each other for about 5 minutes and we cried together, and I realized that it wasn't because she hated what I did. It was because she was moved, and she wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really, really beautiful moment, one of the most beautiful moments ever. And Billie Jean was she's wonderful. She's such a great listener. She's so positive. She's very receptive. She texts me. She's like, "I hear you're doing a great job. Awesome." Like she's wonderful. But
I
she's
love.
just such a different kind of personality than Carole King, right? She's much more like in there, and it's really wonderful. Very
By the way,
supportive.
I'm so petty. I think if I were playing that role and she came back, I'd go, "Was I better than either Mueller sister?" Anyway, for
Oh.
the, just me. Something else I always wondered. So, Billie Jean in real life, this is her story. She marries a guy named Larry King, not the suspenders one, a different Larry King who is portrayed in the show. He's still around too, by the way. They're both
He
alive,
is.
and he's got a family and whatever. But I'm sort of curious in this sort of strength thing. Her maiden name or her born name is Moffat, Billie Jean Moffat. And with all that she went through in her strength, do you have a sense? Do you know why when we know why she gets married, she takes the name King. That's certainly what women did, at least at that time, almost universally, I guess. Do you know why she didn't think of like going back to Moffat or whatever? Was she just so established as King that that's who she was now?
It's funny, we've never actually talked about that. That's a great question, and it's never come up, and I'm not sure why. It's a great question. I don't know that it ever occurred to her. I mean, it's a great one. Maybe I should ask her. It's
And then tell me what she says.
I also think that by that time, my gosh, she was so famous as Billie Jean King. I
Yeah,
can't
that's what
imagine.
I'm.
I mean, I think to myself, like, if I was in her shoes, I don't know that I would change my name either, if it's the 80s,
Right.
and
I mean,
you've
it's
been
like an
around for
actor. It's like
decades.
an actor who, they changed their name to a stage name. Jerry Lewis was Joseph Levitz, but that's kind of different, right? That's a stage name, but here it was her real name. But she never took that time to go, "I'm going back." But it's okay. Again, a different time and a different place. You play her, as I said, until she's about 50. Now, look, there are some kind of biographical shows like this where we get an MC, and it's sort of like Cicely Tyson playing a role, and you get them in the later years, because I think Billie Jean is around 80 now, something like that. So I'm sort of curious, is it the right call by Gunderson to say this, her story, we're going to wrap this at 50, because she continues to have influence today.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it just this is the thing with this incredible person and this story is that yes, you very much could take it to today, and I think that that's a route that would be wonderful and entertaining and very relevant. And I think it's just Lauren decided to cap it at a certain age because there's just so much story to tell. It feels like the cup is already overflowing with all of the
Yeah.
information and the years that we've got.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really great question. I'd be curious to know what the play would be like if we extended it until
Yeah.
right now and we included some of the fights that she's fighting for now.
I have another curious question for you. An unfair question, but here's the thing. You are being Billie Jean King today. So more so than anybody else on the planet except for Billie Jean herself, you understand what it's like to be Billie Jean because you have to play her. It's an actor's job. So here's my question. Imagine she had never been a tennis player, but everything else stays the same. Her grit, her aggressiveness, her fight, her wanting equality, everything stayed the same. She just didn't happen to be a tennis player. Would Billie Jean King, in a different way, be who she is today? Would we know her?
Oh, that's a great question. My immediate response, my gut response to that is that I think she is partly who she is because she's a tennis player. I think that if it wasn't tennis, it would have been football, it would have been soccer, it would have been baseball, it would have been
It was a
something else,
sport.
but or something physical, because that incredible athlete is inside of her, whether it's tennis or not. It just so happened that her mom said, "Okay, you can't play touch football anymore because it's not ladylike, so you have to play a ladylike sport." She would have been a golfer. I think she
Yeah.
just would have. That's my personal opinion. I think that you cannot take that physical, beautiful beast out of Billie Jean. It's just part of how she expresses herself.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, that is that personality and who she is that's made such a difference. The LGBTQIA plus part of her life, the coming out, she had her own recognition of who she was many decades ago. It's a different time now than it was. Today, if somebody is, lesbian, gay, whatever it is, they start a club at high school. And here we go. Back when Billie Jean was living with that, you didn't act that way. One of the scenes or part of the show that I found really touching, living through that kind of stuff myself, was just the rejection of her parents. Again, I don't want to give things away. There's a shift there. One gets it more than the other one was. I kind of think there's something, I think a lot of people, one parent and that particular one seems to be okay with things more than the other one.
Yeah.
But in terms of that relationship, but what how did that influence you, that playing part of this role which didn't let you, even in character, be who you are, who she is,
Well,
rather.
yeah, there's a lot of repression in the show, and a lot of it takes a lot of time for her to really fully step into her shoes and to who she truly is, and to express herself in the way that she wants to express herself organically. And I think that it's interesting too for the younger generations, because I don't think that they fully appreciate how oppressive it was back in the 60s and the 70s, how much you could lose just simply from being who you are, from coming out or being outed, as was Billie Jean's case.
Yeah.
It wasn't even safe to talk about being gay with other gay people. Like, there's a scene between, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a scene between Billie Jean and another person in, who is part of the community, and they have to keep their relationship coded, or and their communication coded and quiet, so that other people don't hear them talk. And that's really, it's just a it was a different reality back then, and I don't think I can press hard enough, like, what a risk it was for her to step into her full authenticity. It was
I guess
a
that's the piece, again, watching that part and knowing that things are different today. I guess if there were a final scene, again, to me, the final scene is fabulous, but the video, all that happens is just really great. But I almost wish that we could have you come on stage and begin to sort of just, as Billie Jean today, change your makeup a little bit, but basically sort of have some reflection about things are different today. Things are better, partially because of her, but the things are better in a lot of ways for people. Of course, then again, things are just as challenging as they were before. That was a point you made earlier. So they're better in some ways, but then depending on the political atmosphere of things, the challenges return.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it's so important, as you said. I think you made a really good point that we have to remain hopeful that things have shifted. Things in certain ways are easier, and that we're not entirely back where we were. And that there's obviously challenges. But I think to keep our morale up and to keep hope alive, I think it is very important to underline
Yeah.
the progress that's been made, and the ways that we've become more loving, more accepting.
Has it influenced how you're a mom, right? You have a son.
I do.
Has it influenced how you are a mom and treating your son? I mean, just is there any impact on you that you then bring home? I'm also curious as to what I think his name is Henry. Is that right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's right.
whether Henry seen the show and he kind of said, "Oh, I didn't know that was you up there, mom."
He saw opening night, and he's wonderful. He comes to all of my shows, and yeah. Listen,
Was
I
he
think
behind me talking through the whole show? No, I'm kidding. I mean,
I hope not. No, he's a really great, very well-behaved theater kid. He has been since he was
okay.
tiny. I'm very strict about that. Yeah, I think, the way that I've parented Henry, I've been influenced by all of the parts that I've played. But specifically Billie Jean, like, there's this sort of this kind of muscled authenticity that comes with portraying her, even though, like we've talked about, she goes through this period of sort of living in the shadows of who she is. But there's that inspiration that comes every night, and I think that, every time you take on a role, especially roles that influence you and that you feel inspired by, you can't help but have that ripple effect out to your family and to your children and to your friends and your community. Like, that Billie Jean continues to give, right? Through me, through the play, through all of her activism, through just her acts of kindness. And so, yes, she has influenced me tremendously.
Yeah. I'm thinking your son might say, "Actually, Mom, I wish you were a little more Mary Magdalene around the house, to be honest with you. Give me a
Dousing
break.
everybody with,
Give me a break
oils.
sometimes." I love it. Do you when I think of the her strength, that fighter, that guts, is that you? I mean, I'm just thinking of your career. That's why I wanted to open the show with all the things you've done, that you're not just an actor, but you write, you run. But is there some Billie Jean in Shalina?
Definitely. I mean, this is the thing, right? This is the thing that we've all been told to some degree, like, be a lady, right? Since I was a kid, I have a definite animal, fiery dragon inside of me that gets doused all the time, right? Because, you've got to be a lady, you've got to show up, you've got to be political, you've got to be polite, you've got to be a good little girl. That's the messaging that we get from the time that we're little kids. And There is a you know, I'm an Aries, I'm a fire sign, I'm a ram. And that is, you know, I would be lying if I said that there wasn't a quite a bit of Billie Jean on the inside of me. And it's a pleasure to allow that to be let loose, you know, in many different ways.
And so I'm going to let you go in just a second as the show wraps up on August 10th. And again, we'll see what future it has. It will have a future without question. But as you go on to something else or another project for now or whatever it is, how will this show stay with you? I don't just mean what great memories and what a fun party it was. And I was with Lily Tomlin. I mean, how does the embodiment of this character, how will it stay with Shalina over time?
Well, I think she'll stay with me the way that she has over the last 2 years. You know, I always think like we're mansions that keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Our energetic space, our memories, our personalities. And Billie Jean occupies kind of a big room in there at the moment. And the rooms never go away. You just kind of reinvest. Like every time I used to go back to playing Carol after I'd had a break and I would go back, it's like, oh, it took me a little bit to find it. But then once you're back in the room, I can remember everything about this. I remember how it feels. And I feel that I respond so intensely to her focus, to her quiet, to her grace, to her inspiration, and that I think that that's going to be with me forever.
The show is amazing, and I have to say, as soon as I walked out of the show, and of course I wrote my review the next morning, but I also contacted the Chicago Shakespeare, and I said I need to talk to her. And what I love about this show that I get to do is, with all due respect to my, I do television, but with all due respect to my television colleagues, where you get 4 minutes or something like that, and you have to talk to, like, how do you hold that tennis racket when you're, this lets me sort of just ask the questions I really want to know, and probe a little bit. I hope that was okay with you, to sort of look inside a bit.
Absolutely. It was such a pleasure. Honestly, I loved all of your questions. I love talking to you.
Thank you so much. Well, Billie Jean is playing at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. I think we just call it Chicago Shakes. I think you just get to do that at Navy Pier. Which, by the way, go to Navy Pier. Have dinner at our, Have you had dinner at Reunion yet? And had the fried chicken, Art Smith's fried
Not
chicken?
yet, no, because I've been on this crazy strict diet, but I'm going to. Like in the last week, I'm definitely
What's
going to go
wrong
because
with
I
you,
pass it
woman?
every day and it's like torture. I'm like, oh my God, get away from me with those good smells. I've been craving chicken tenders since I've been here.
So you have Kilwin's next door with the fudge and the chocolate and the ice cream. You've got Garrett's down the hallway. And by the way, I can't remember the name of the place, but there is Dole Whip, which is this locale sort of ice cream you can only get in Hawaii, but they have it there. And you started a diet?
Okay, yeah, just I mean, you know, to get in shape for this show, it's bananas. Like, and they've got the bubble tea place with the mochi cakes. Like, it's too much. I can't even go there. I bring my little
Oh.
lunch and I sit by myself and I don't get distracted by all the yummy food.
Don't you wish the play was Billie Jean, The Overweight Years?
Oh
There were
my
none. There
goodness.
were none. I'm sorry if Billie Jean's watching. There were none.
She's yeah, no, she was always a very fit person.
I love it. Well, Shalina Kennedy, as I said, I think this is not the first time we've come together, and it certainly won't be the last because there's so much more ahead of you. Billie Jean is playing at Chicago Shakes through August 10th, only August 10th. You don't have much time. Get tickets at chicagoshakes.com. You will thank me for telling you to do that and for seeing the show. Thank you, Shalina. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to spend some time with you.
And thanks to everybody here for watching us on Paul Listed Behind the Curtain. We'll see you next time.